Once again, let everybody say amen. God has been good to us. He brought us from yesterday and yesteryear unto this day today. God has blessed us, and no doubt many of you are saying, well, I don't feel as good as I'd like to feel, but just be thankful to God that you're feeling at all. Because many started on this road the same time many of us did, but they're not with us anymore. But thank God He has blessed us to continue to be here. And you ought to be thinking about doing something godly with your life because He has left you here. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting at verses 1 through 4. Before we get into that reading, let me take a moment and go to God in prayer. Bow with me if you would. O Lord, our gracious God of heaven, you have lengthened out our lives and given us one more chance to serve thee in spirit and in truth. We thank you for this morning that you have blessed us with and that you have given us to see, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, that our bodies were able to get up this morning. You enabled our bodies to get up this morning and to make it out, get dressed and make it out to your house, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you this morning for the Church of Christ here on Stony Island. Thank you mostly, our Heavenly Father, for your Son Jesus, who went to the cross on our behalf, that we may have the right to eternal life. Thank you this morning, Father, for all the members that are here this morning. We thank you for those who may be visiting with us this morning, and we pray that they would receive something from our message this morning. We pray and thank you for those who are sick and not able to be with us, that at the next appointed time, if it be your will, you would allow them to be with us. We pray for those who are tripping and traveling this day, O Lord. We pray that you give them safety back to their homes and safety that they may come back to the Lord's house. We thank you and pray for those who are just downright sick this morning, and Father, those who are on their sick beds. We thank you for them and pray for their health and their strength that it may also return. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who serve our needs, O Heavenly Father, the firemen, the policemen, the teachers, and all of those who make life, who are attempt to make life better for us when we need them, O Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for our leaders in this congregation, and thank you for their services to the church, and thank you for their families as well. We want to say thank you to those brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, and for those who in their families, and for those who shall continue on. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all might continue to be blessed. Father, we come praying for those who have lost loved ones in tragic accidents and under tragic circumstances. Father, we pray, and we also pray for those who have gone on naturally, O Lord, because you simply called them home. We pray for those families as well. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us, and thank you for sending us your Son. Thank you, Lord, for everything, and it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask all of these and other blessings. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture once again was read for your hearing from Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself in this as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This morning we want to talk for a few minutes on how Jesus teaches on humility. Without a doubt, wherever people are, there will be problems, whether it be in the home, in school, at work, or even at the church house. And the question becomes why? Because everyone has their own thoughts and ideas on how things should be and how things should go. A husband wants his wife to prepare his favorite meal at the time he wants it to be ready and he wants it to be there and ready and waiting for him at that exact time. Regardless of how that wife may be feeling. And if she doesn't, he may even begin to think, maybe I connected up with the wrong wife. It's no wonder people are having problems all over the world. And so it is with all of us, because none of us are perfect neither. None of us are perfect, and neither were the disciples, who when Jesus was about to teach a lesson to them on humility as well as to all of us. So there was a question that was raised, and the question was raised in verse number 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples raised the question. Here we have those same men, the same men who had walked, talked, and watched Jesus at work, now asking Jesus this question, because they are mere humans, and as such they have flaws, as with us today. Members who profess to be Christians are not always Christian-like. Those who are seasoned Christian act as babes sometime in Christ. Sometimes these few verses that teach us that there is always room for growth. We must keep our minds open to growth in knowledge and grace. Being a Christian does not always mean that he has left the world behind him or her. Being a Christian means sometimes that you profess the profession of a Christian, but you don't act the part of a Christian. So just why was this question raised? I'll tell you why I believe it was raised. They were more interested in their own status than the furthering of the cause of the Lord. They were envious and jealous of one another, much like Christians are today. Much like we are today, when we have forgotten that it does not matter how great we may think we are, we can do nothing without the Lord. We can do nothing without God, and all of us are but a mere man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, around verses number 5 through verse number 7, but especially in verse number 7. So then neither is he but God that giveth the increase. No matter who you are and what you do, unless you've got God working with you, then you need to consider and ask yourself the question, am I with God, or is God with me, or am I just trying to act out on my own? Am I trying to do something on my own? It is to God that all the glory should go, and not to our own pride. We must become humble, and we must remain that way. We must learn to get over the many small things that cause us hurt and many times damage our relationship, not only with God, but also with others. So then I like how Jesus accepted the question, and then he began to show concern about them, because he said, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But then look how Jesus began to answer the question. In verse number 2, he called a little child unto him, set him in the midst of them. Not set him in the midst so that they could all admire and play with this young child. But the question, we must learn first the meaning of humility. It means lowliness of mind. And spiritually, it means grace that allows one to think of himself no more than he or she should. Jesus used this child to teach this lesson. Do you remember in Luke chapter 2, around verse number 46, how that Jesus himself as a child was found in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions? He himself was humble enough to let his parents know, when they finally did find him after being lost, that he was doing his Father's business. Are you doing your Heavenly Father's business this morning? Or are you just kind of skating on by and just letting things pass you as the world passes you on by? When we become humble, When we become humble, we can learn to accomplish more than we ever could by ourselves. Go over with me, if you will, to John chapter 15 and verse number 5. John chapter 15 and verse number 5, where the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, there's nothing that we can do without Jesus. Nothing at all. No matter how great we think we are, we can't do it without Jesus. He said, I am the vine. I am, and you are the branches that abideth in me. So one may accomplish much more with Christ than without Christ. We can do nothing that will be pleasing to the Lord, except being humble will bring us around. You know, being humble does something for all of us. When you're humble, you begin to learn things in life that you may never have seen before. When you're humble, you know, I can walk around with my attitude on my shoulders and consider myself something more than I am, when the Bible already told me I'm nothing without God. But learning to be humble means something in the sight of God. Learning to be humble is a good thing. Learning to be humble means that you can accomplish much more with him than without him. We must learn that being humble must become a way of life to all who would care to please God and to get along with one another. Oh, yeah, we need to get along with one another. Let me tell you something about getting along with one another. When you can't get along with your neighbor, your friend, your family, or people that you come in contact with, you know, there are people who walk around with a chip on their shoulder all day long, all the time, and they're just waiting sometimes for you to say something to them because they're daring you to knock the chip off their shoulders. You know, when you were a kid, you played that game, put the chip on your shoulder and knock it off if you're bad. Well, there are some folk today who still have that same kind of attitude. They're not humble. They don't have Christ in them. And sometimes we must learn that being humble is the only way that we're going to learn to get along with one another as well as please Jesus. I believe Jesus used this child because children are humble and they make a good example for adults to see humility in action. Well, how do they do that, preacher? Well, Jesus brought that child unto him in the midst of them. Look what he said. He said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Children are easily hurt, but they are quick to forget and forgive. I wish adults were like that. They can fight one minute, and the next minute they're making up and playing all over again. Something many Christians have forgotten how to do. Children are tender-hearted. This means they easily show pity and we do not. Sometimes children are our best example. And I know as adults, when we get older especially, we don't like to take the examples of children. We say children should stay in their place. And their place is where we consider their place ought to be. And I know that sometimes when we think about it, these same children that Jesus had are the same children that we have today. Oh, some of them are badder. Oh, no doubt about it. Some of them don't want to listen to their parents. Some of them don't want to hear the things that grown-ups have to talk to them about. But sometimes we ought to take note of these children because they can teach us a lesson. It shows that pity in it, and pity without pity, we have nothing, no compassion. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, the Bible says to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies, according to James 5 and verse number 1. Children can help us to recall many things that we have already forgotten. So the question was answered in verse number 4, where he used the children to teach us in order to get into the kingdom, according to verse number 2 and 3, or verse number 4. But in verse number 4, the answer is given to the question in verse number 1. We must be converted. Our minds and our hearts must be changed. We must become as little, like little children. That does not mean we are to be, we are to be harmless, but it does mean we are to be humble. We are to be, as 1 Peter 2 and 2 puts it, we must become as newborn babes in the desire of the sincere milk of the word. This is the first step toward humanity. And what does humanity do? Humility do for us? Not humanity, humility. What does humility do for us? Humility will bring blessings for those of us who are humble. The humble, according to Luke chapter 14 and verse number 11, will exalt. It's a man's pride that many times causes one to fall. Notice there in that 14th verse in verse number 11, again, according to the word of God, everyone who exalts himself shall be humble, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. The pride of a man is often the cause of one's fall. James chapter 4 and verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now God resists those who are proud, but he gives more grace according to being humble, according to the text. It's good to be humble in the sight of God. It's very good to be humble. When you're humble, you're more likely to accept the teachings of God. When you're not humble, you say, I don't need that. You say, I don't want the Bible in my life. I'm not ready for the Bible. Many folks have said to themselves that the Bible was written by man. Well, yes, it was written by man, but it was with the inspiration of God. So we've got to learn to be humble and accept the word of God. Now, of all of us in here today could probably put up an argument and say, well, I don't believe the Bible because. But since we are Christian folk, we don't look for reasons to not believe the Bible. We look for reasons to believe the Bible. And the reason, the most pressing reason to believe the Bible is that it's the Word of God. The Word of God will bring us up when we have fallen down. The Word of God will lift us up when we can't lift ourselves up. The Word of God will help us to stay up once we get up. You know, there's nothing like a man who has fallen and won't get up out of the ditch of self-pity. It's an unhumble man, a man without humility that won't allow God to help him to get up. I think this morning that we all ought to be humble enough to remember how good and how great God is to us. When Jesus went to the cross, before he went to the cross, do you remember where he went in Luke and he began to pray and ask God to allow this cup to pass from him? But if not, let your will be done. He didn't put himself first. He said, Lord, whatever it is, let your will be done. And when we get into trouble sometimes, we try in our prayers, those of us who pray, we try to tell the Lord, some of us, how to answer me in prayer. Lord, I want you to do this for me, and I want you to do that for me. That's not the way you pray. You ask God. You don't tell God. You have to learn to be humble in your approach to God, and you have to learn to show him humility in your dealings with the Lord. So look at verse number 4, if you will. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I tell you something this morning. When you become as a child, Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating what the Bible said. Jesus said, when you humble yourself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When you become humble, you're willing to let God guide your life. You're willing to let God lead you instead of you trying to lead yourself. All we have to do is to look at the Bible to see how Jesus inspires and speaks of blessings upon those who are humble. In Matthew chapter 5, and go over with me in Matthew chapter 5, if you will. In Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse number 3, look what the Bible says. Well, look at verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger for thirst and after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now I tell you something. There's something about being humble. "Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth." I tell you, there's nothing like you humbling yourself before the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nothing like it, because he has promised us blessing. All of those mentioned in those blessings, Jesus said, "Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for theirs shall be the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are all of those people that are humble in heart, for they shall inherit the earth. Now I tell you, church, you need to humble yourself before the Lord. And there's nothing better to do than when you get home this afternoon, you ought to fall on your knees and thank God for giving you a blessing of being here today. If you didn't do it this morning, and even if you did it this morning, you need to do it again. You need to do it again, because he didn't have to bless you to be here with us today. I know he didn't have to bless me. I'm going to speak on me for a minute here. I know he didn't have to bless me, but nevertheless, he did bless me. He blessed me to get up this morning. See, as I often tell you, when you go to bed at night, you don't know what's going to happen during the night. You don't know how you're going to sleep. You plan on sleeping. And they've got all kind of aids now, they tell you, that'll help you to sleep. They got foam mattresses and mattresses that you can dial up a number to make you sleep. But I tell you something, if you haven't humbled yourself before God, you can get the best mattress in the world. You are not going to sleep. You need God to put you to sleep. And you ought to ask him just before you go attempt to go to sleep. Ask him, say, "Lord, would you put me to sleep tonight? And would you watch over me while I'm sleeping and slumbering? Would you keep anything from coming in on me? Would you keep anything from crawling or rolling up under me? Would you keep me safe and secure, oh Lord?" And then, when you have asked the Lord for his blessings while you sleep and slumber, then you can roll over and go on to sleep. You can roll over and sleep with peace, because you have humbled yourself before the Lord. So look at the text once again in Matthew chapter 18, and look at verse number 4 once again. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And I'll just read verse 5 for you also. "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." So you need to take another look at the children today. You need to ask the children. You need to watch the children as they work and play, because you can perhaps learn something. You can learn that without God, nothing is possible. You can learn that how to be tender-hearted, and you can learn how to be humble and teach you and give you blessings that God will, and receive the blessings that God will give you when you become humble. Now, I know what a lot of folks say today. I'm already humble. I'm already humble, but nevertheless, you can use a little bit more. You can use a little bit more humility. And some folks say, well, I got so much patience and humble and humility in me that I don't know if I can get any more. Well, see, you're a perfect candidate for humility. You see, you've already went above and beyond the term humility. That means lowliness of self. Thinking far above more than what you are, in other words. But once you become humble, you'll realize, I just live here on this planet because God has put me here. I live on this planet on a daily basis because God has allowed me to continue to live. I live on this planet because God has given me His blessings. And I'm in the middle of my blessings right now. I'm in the middle of my blessings because God got me up this morning and He blessed me to be at midday. So I'm in the middle of my blessing right now, aren't you? I think that when you got up this morning, if you had breakfast, you ought to be thankful. If you had clothes to wear to church, you ought to be thankful. If He allowed you to be blessed enough to put on your own clothes, you ought to be thankful. You ought to humble yourself and say, thank you, Lord. If you got up this morning with that same chip I was talking about on your shoulder, you didn't think nothing about asking God, thanking God for what He did for you. You didn't show no humility because you think you did it all by yourself. But you didn't. But so then the question becomes, if I wanted to be a member of the Lord's body, if I decided I wanted to start serving the Lord and become full of humility, how do I go about that? Well, it's very simple. You come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized right behind us right here. And if you've already taken those steps, some of us longer ago than others of us, if you've taken that step but you've gone astray, you need to ask yourself one question. Am I still in the Lord? Am I still serving the Lord? And if you find yourself to be a guilty distance from God's throne, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Stand up, walk down here, face the church and say, church, I need you to help me pray. I need you to pray for me because I can't pray all by myself and be humble at the same time. Because I put myself in place of being humble many times. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation,